We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
And we are back, another edition of the Michigan Basketball Insider, and glad to be doing one. You said, hey, if they win, we're going to do one right away. We're going to do one to get you ready for the next game. Michigan won. They answered the bell in the second half after being on the ropes, down 15 in the first half. And I certainly have my opinions as to why. I know my esteemed co-host who wore that uniform, been in many basketball situations before, where I'm sure he had to respond to a challenge issued by his coaches. I think that's what happened today. Joining me to talk about that like he is every single podcast, former Michigan standout, Tim McCormick, first-round draft pick, basketball commentator who I trust above all others with me. So, Tim, I could see the smile on your face from a mile away. We weren't even on the same, you know, in the same household. I knew you were beaming from ear to ear when the Wolverines pulled it out.
Sam, I'm so happy to be speaking with you tonight, because the alternative is that we'd wait a couple weeks and talk about Greg Glenn and Jed Howard and start looking towards next year. How's Doug McDaniel going to be in the backcourt? And I have to say that I'm very pleased. And I have to be honest with you. I feel like I deserve a lot of credit for the victory myself. Yeah, Hunter was dominant, and Frankie was exceptional, and Eli was clutch. But the truth is, and I told you this, you know, after the Ohio State game, I can be a little bit superstitious at times. And in the first half today, I was on the Peloton, and I got a good 45-minute workout in. And at halftime, I thought, what am I doing? Like, the Ohio State game, I was on the elliptical. And I was on for almost like an hour and 40 minutes, but I had to stick with it. So I was just thinking about the fact that in the first half, we were ridiculously careless with the ball. We gave up 8 offensive rebounds. The shooting from 3 was 24-0. And so, Sam, I gave it up for the team. I made the change. Same as Ohio State. I went back to the elliptical. And I spent the entire second half there, and I got fatigued. I was a little bit tired, but I didn't stop, because this is March, and I pushed through, and I inspired the team somehow through my superstition. So,
well,
it was good.
The lesson is, okay, man, do we know what we're doing Saturday? I think you got to get your wind up, man.
I'm a little concerned. I'm broadcasting the girls' high school state championship. It's going to be hard for me to get my bike going, because the games are about the same time. So, you know what? I've got them this far, Sam. It's on Michigan basketball now. They've got to pull through without me.
Yeah, I got to tell you, a lot of what you said, though, in the preview rang true when you talked about, hey, force them to put it on a deck. I really thought what we saw from Michigan in the first half offensively, as frustrating as it was, and as many as people were harping on, this is terrible offense. And it was, I mean, it was bad offense, but we're going to see that from this team, right? I mean, they are inconsistent offensively, but it has been my contention for much of the season that they have a much better chance of being consistent defensively than they do offensively. Offense is going to be fleeting. Defense should be constant. And Tim, they were getting worked from the 3-point line. The 4-5 and, you know, 4-5 pick and pop, that was destroying them. And to me, I'm thinking about, so what does the scouting report say? These guys can hit threes. What did Tim McCormick say? Force them to put it on the deck. And they were not, I mean, you kept seeing Musa and Hunter getting caught sort of in between, you know, really late closeouts, too much airspace, allowing those guys a clear, you know, view of the basket, and Michigan paid for it for a good portion. Fortunately, the intensity and the connectedness defensively really picked up in the latter stages of the first half and especially in the second half.
I thought that Phil Martelli made a great comment at halftime where he said that our offense is being affected by our defense and vice versa. Look, I have to be honest, Sam. I was really frustrated in the first half too. And I didn't think Michigan was ready to go. I thought their pick and roll defense was shaky. Mm-hmm. No, really shaky. Mm-hmm. Hunter Dickinson was exposed with slow feet. Mm-hmm. I was giving up hope. And this one win, one loss, one win, one loss, it's getting old. And I was mad at it halftime because that doesn't work. You can't win one, lose one in March and expect any success. I was talking to a friend at half, and we were both frustrated with Caleb and his shooting and Moose's decision making. And Brandon Johns is a senior. What's going on? Like he needs to be a factor and he isn't. And then I realized Michigan was horrible in the first half and they were down 7. And Colorado State is a good team. But they blew it. Colorado State blew it because they were up 15 and they relaxed. Mm-hmm. And Michigan played to its potential in the second half. And they showed what they're capable of. And Sam, maybe the most important thing that I walked away with on reasons why they struggled. So you've got Musa and Caleb, they're freshmen. Okay, so is Frankie. They've never experienced it. I think they were a little bit nervous. They were tight. And you might say, well, Hunter, you know, he's been through it. He played in the Elite Eight. Well, this is a new role for him as the go-to guy. That's a lot of pressure on him because if Hunter Dickinson doesn't go 8 for 10, Michigan doesn't win this game. So there's a lot of pressure on him too. And I mean, Kobe Bufkin was in over his head, but I think he'll be better next game. The only guy that's been there that knew what he was doing is Eli Brooks. Mm-hmm. And Sam, I don't know if I'm ever going to be in a restaurant with Eli Brooks, if I'm ever going to be in a bar with him. If I am, I'm picking up his tab. Okay, that's a guarantee. I am buying him, you know, I'm going to say, Eli, get the prime rib. Go for it. You know, get yourself a nice cocktail. This is on me because how many times over the course of his career, over his 5 years, have I pumped my fist in the air after he made a huge play? How many times have I actually yelled out, you know, yes, and shown that enthusiasm? Man, Eli Brooks has brought so much joy into my life watching him play. And for all of our viewers and listeners, man, you've got to pick up his tab too. That guy needs a free meal and a free drink someday for all the good work he's done for us.
Yeah, I think what you pointed out with Phil, I think Phil is so candid.
He's a genius.
He's been saying all season that our offense is too connected to our defense.
Yeah.
Right. That those – and they can't be. You don't – no coach wants that, right? Because every team is – you can control – defense is effort. It's intensity. It's want to. You know, that's not shot making. That's different, right? You know that's going to be up and down sometimes, no matter what team. And Steph Curry has off nights, right?
Not many.
Yeah, right, true. But point being, though, this team doesn't have Steph Curry. So you had better not be up and down defensively. You had better be locked in defensively all the time. And to your point, Tim, I agree with you. I just didn't feel like coming out of the gate, Michigan came out the gate ready intensity-wise. Focus wise on that end of the floor, and it sort of bled over to the offensive end of the floor where you have an advantage. Get in the paint. It was more concerted, more aggressive, I thought, when Frankie got in the game. And the turning point in the game to me, the last 5 minutes of the first half. Michigan is down 15 points. Frankie Collins gets to the rim for an and one. David Roddy's bringing the ball up the floor. Frankie picks his pocket, dunks it. That changed the momentum of the game. The young fella gave them an infusion of energy that I thought carried them. And I know Juwan had to – he didn't panic. But he had to give them a sense of urgency at halftime about how they needed to come out of the gate on the defensive end of the floor. That's where it all starts. And it was a different game defensively for Michigan after the break.
No doubt. And yeah, I want to talk a little bit about point guard play. And the first point has to do with Devontae Jones not being in Indy. I remember playing for the Knicks, and Mark Jackson was our point guard, and he was out for a game. And it's okay because, you know, everybody says the same cliche, next man up, we're going to be okay. And we came out and we were so flat. And I didn't really understand it at the time, but Mark Jackson was the leader of the team. Patrick Ewing is a great leader, but Mark Jackson, to the heart and soul of the team. And Greg Anthony was his backup. And Greg Anthony is a really good player, but it's not the same. And sometimes on the outside, you look at the scoring numbers and the rebounds and the assists, and you say, yeah, we can get by without a certain player. But I just get a feeling that this team really likes Devontae Jones, and DJ has been playing well. He's made big shots. He's tough on defense. He's connected with the coaches. Point guard is so important, and not having him, I think, was a really big part of why emotionally Michigan didn't seem ready in the first half. And there were guys put in unfamiliar positions where they were throwing the ball away. That has to do with it. But, man, Frankie Collins was a stud. That guy played a great ball game. He was so poised. Got this. Showed up. And Sam, earlier today I sent out a tweet, and I said that, you know, today, you know, we're going to learn a lot about the future of Michigan point guard play. You know, so is Frankie the point guard for next year? We'll learn a little bit about that today. Or are they going to have to bring DJ back next year for his COVID year? Or are they going to hit the portal and find another point guard? I think from what I saw that Frankie Collins is going to be really good. And he could be all Big Ten someday. You never know. But man, that guy's got swag. He's tough. That strip of Roddy, that was the biggest defensive play of the year. And Sam, remember what I told you? Remember who I predicted would be the big impact player on our podcast the other day? Frankie Collins.
You predicted it'd be Frank. I remember you saying he would get a couple buckets.
I said somebody's got it. Like, who's the outlier in this game? I said I thought it would be Frankie Collins. I didn't know he was going to start and play 35 minutes, but I did make that prediction. So I've been wrong a few times. So if I get it right, I'm going to definitely point that out to you.
Yeah. Well, I'll take it. You know, he reminds me of Xavier Simpson in this way. Even when you play off, I mean, he's so explosive. He can close that distance and get by you. Now, you can't make a living like that, especially when they get against better, like this next team, Tennessee.
May not work.
That's not going to work. They're too quick. Defense. If they play off you, you're not blowing by them probably like you were able to do these guys from Colorado State. But to his point, they played off him. He was still able to get to the rim. Now, you can't turn down those open looks every time. And I was happy to see him that corner three.
Yep.
Took it with confidence after he had missed one and knocked it down. You really knew it was his day. The young fella was feeling it. I called it a grown man game. Mm-hmm. This was a grow-up game for Frankie Collins when his team had to have it. You know, I want to be careful to not read too much into one game to say, oh, he's arrived. But I certainly think his confidence in being there to lift his team and his team's confidence in him, I do think that that's there, Tim.
Well, you know, remember when Illinois just blew Michigan's doors off a couple weeks ago?
Oh, yeah.
They won because they've got guards that are athletic and explosive, and they have playmaking ability, and they surround Kofi Coburn with four guys that are playmakers. I can see Frankie Collins being that guy. Like, where if you're playing Michigan, you're saying, man, I can't believe he got to the rim again. Why can't somebody cover that guy? Well, he's really quick. And to step into his first NCAA game and deliver 6 out of 7 from the field with 6 boards, and he was poised, and his defense was good. And I could tell he loved being out there. He's got something special. And I could see him playing next year in a backcourt right next to Devontae Jones. I can see he and Doug McDaniel getting after people on the defensive end and not letting people into their offense. I was really excited about his play, maybe more so than anybody else. He stepped into a tough position. And I personally have a feeling that Devontae Jones is on his way to Indy somehow. If he's not, hey, Devontae, if you need a lift, let me know. I mean, I'd be willing to come pick you up. I've got nothing going later. I can drive you down there. Like, I don't need tickets or anything. Devontae, if you need a ride, I'm there.
Yeah, man. This was this game was, I think it was significant from the standpoint where Juwan, I think he showed them two faces. He showed them the face of calm. And he talked about this after the game in the first half, where they're down 15 and he does not panic. I mean, you know, Juwan, we remember Juwan got in the face of Isaiah Livers his first year, right? We talked a lot about that. Like, he can be that guy, but time, place, you can make matters worse if you do it at the wrong time. So I thought he was very on point by not doing that in the first half of this game. But I'm going to ask Phil, I believe he at halftime, I believe he had a message for him, because the intensity that they came out with was different. It was different. And it's funny how it works out, man, because at the first time, the TV timeout at the, I think it was like 15:57, I believe, and I took note of this stat mentally. I should have written it down, but I think that Colorado State came out of the gate, they were like 2 for 7. And Michigan was like putting it on them because they were swarming defensively. So much comes from that for this team. You talk about the shooting and Caleb hit some threes. To me, the energy everywhere else on the floor and all other aspects of the game came from what they were doing on the defensive end, giving Hunter a ton of credit for what he did on the inside, Eli a ton of credit for settling down the team. But I think the energy guy for this game and feeding him on both ends of the floor, the young fella we just talked about, now I'm the grown man, Frankie Collins. As we look ahead, Tim, different challenge, because what we saw from Tennessee is the hottest team in a loaded league, that being the SEC. The last month or so of the season, you can make an argument that Tennessee is one of the top 2-3 teams in the country. I think they're underseeded as a 3 seed, and they played like that today. They shared the basketball. They were swarming defensively, and everyone was in on it. Like, the whole team was in. I don't know how much of Tennessee you watch. It's like, if they play like that, man, they'll be a load to handle, tough to beat.
Well, so I'm going to tell you a little bit about Tennessee from what I've seen, and then I'm going to tell you why I think Michigan beats them, all right?
Okay.
They've won 8 straight. And they're the SEC champs, and they're one of the top 5 teams in college basketball. Kennedy Chandler is their best player, and he's a pro. He really is. Probably a lottery pick, and he just operates at a smooth level. I just love watching him. You know, he gets you 14 or 15 points a game, 5 or 6 assists, and he does it every game. Now, one thing that's interesting is that he's not big. He's like 6 foot tall, and he's a little bit thin because he's still young. But I love the consistency. He gets you those numbers every single game. And so the other guy that I really like is Santiago Viscovi. And he's smooth. He's a guard. They play 4 guards, so they're not a big team, but they seem to rebound okay. You know, Viscovi and Josiah Jordan James, they're both double figure scorers as well. So when you think about their resume, they beat Kentucky twice, they beat Arizona, they beat everybody, and they're really good. Offensively, they get you what, 73, 74 points per game, which is top 5 in the SEC. But where they really separate is on the defensive end. They're a really good shooting team. You can't leave those guys because, you know, whereas Colorado State, they went cold a little bit in the second half. Tennessee doesn't. They shoot really well, and they're number one in the SEC in assists. Now, the one thing that I say that why Michigan can win is that I just don't believe that teams that win their conference tournament, and they're not necessarily the favorite, I just don't think it's likely that they're going to sustain it for a month. Like going in, when I filled out my bracket, I got rid of Virginia Tech really early because they just played above their heads. They couldn't miss. They had guys that, you know, are career 30% shooters that couldn't miss a three. Iowa, I had them getting beat really early because they're a good offensive team that just couldn't be stopped in the Big Ten tournament. But I didn't expect them to continue. And I think that when I watch Tennessee play, I watch them in the SEC finals. They're really good. There's no doubt about it. But I don't see a world beater out there. I don't see a Jimmy Jackson or a Jamal Mashburn or some iconic guy that's going to be an NBA all-star that you just can't stop. I don't see anybody on their team that scares me to death. And I also think that when you watch Tennessee play, I'm more worried about Michigan because if they – I've seen them blow out Purdue. Okay, I saw what they did to Michigan State. I've seen them on the road at Ohio State. Like, they're capable of greatness. And I think they found something really good in the second half. You know, the 31-9 run against Indiana, that's done. And the 10-0 run that Colorado State had today, that's done. Like, Michigan can focus on good stuff. And if Devontae Jones walks in that locker room, the emotional lift he will give his team is going to be worth 10 points. So I'm not worried about Tennessee. And also, when you consider the fact that we were shaking our heads about, is Michigan going to go to the tournament this year? I don't know. Like, when they went in, I was like, everything from this point on is money. And then when they were down by 15, the fact that we're still talking about them playing the tournament, Sam, it's all good. There's nothing.
Hey, man, you know what, Tim? It reminds me. I remember, I haven't told you this story. I remember in high school, we were playing Saginaw Arthur Hill in the state playoff.
Sam Sword.
Yes, yes. Okay, so I have to. Sam Sword was on the other side. And I remember being really, really intimidated. I remember thinking to myself, okay, we have Andre Weathers, right? We got Dre Weathers. It's gonna be all right. It's gonna be all right. So Tim, you're my big fella right now. And I'm leaning on you, looking at you like I looked at Andre Weathers that day, because yeah, man, Tennessee, if they play like they play today, and you know how I ride for Michigan, you know that Michigan won't beat the Tennessee that played today against Longwood. They will not. That was a team that has two things that I think are problematic for Michigan. Number one, backcourt quickness. Another reason why Frankie's play today was important. I think DJ is going to have a hell of a time staying in front of Kennedy Chandler and Zakai Ziegler. Now, Ziegler is not a big guy, but he can get to the rack, Tim. And both guys attacked the rim with their head up. Both guys, I think, had like 5-6 assists in this game, where they were the big fella off the bench, Fulkerson. I mean, he was like, he missed one shot. He was like 7-8 from the field, but every shot was like, it was like a dunk because his point guards were setting him up. You can't be, if you're Michigan, you can't switch on screens. Those guys will exploit you. You really have got to have guards be sticky on the perimeter. Frankie can do that. To me, for Devontae Jones to fare well in this game defensively, he has to tax them on the other end of the floor. He has to make them pay when he's on offense. And can he do that coming off a concussion? I'm a little concerned about that. That to me is a big question mark heading into this game.
Well, you did your scouting report, Sam. That's good stuff. So let me say this. I shared that I didn't believe that today Musa Diabate should play starters minutes against Colorado State. Michigan was just too big and too slow on the front line with that lineup. I think the same thing about Tennessee. To me, Musa will play backup minutes to Hunter, and I would play Caleb Houston at the four, and I'd go as much three-guard lineup as I can. Here's another play that made me mad, and it didn't even count, okay? It has to do with Caleb Houston. Michigan cannot afford to have him 0-for from three in the first half like he did today, like he did against Indiana. They need him to be able to knock shots down. And he has got to get some free throws or a layup or something early, because you saw in the second half, if he thinks he's good, if he makes a shot, his next one's money. You just know it is. And there was a play that made me mad. I don't know if you remember it. There was about 5 or 6 minutes to go in the game. Frankie Collins drove baseline. It was probably earlier than that too. But Frankie Collins drove baseline. They called a foul, and he kicked it to the left corner to Caleb Houston, who's struggling with his shot. And Caleb, he went off 1 foot and just kind of launched it without caring, and it hit the top of the backboard on the left. And to me, I'm thinking, Caleb, that's an opportunity for you to take a game shot and see the ball go through the net. He had not made a three at that point. And for him to be so lackluster and lackadaisical on a three in that environment, man, make your shot. See the ball go through. And instead, he just kicked one leg up and threw an off-balance shot that hit the backboard. I thought that was a rookie mistake, and they just need him. He's got to hit 5 threes if they're going to beat Tennessee.
Yeah, I want to amend something. I said, look, they can't switch on screens if Tennessee plays like they play today. So this is the other thing. You got to hope that they aren't as on as they were today. 29 assists on 33 made baskets.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah, man. And one of the reasons why was because they broke Longwood's defense down. I have not seen the stat on how many of their threes, because they were 14 for 24 from 3-point range. How many of those shots came off a drive and kick? I would argue the overwhelming percentage of them. I mean, they did a terrific job of breaking down that defense. So to me, if you're Michigan, if you can't hard hedge this team, you can't give up penetration. This is a drop coverage game, and hope they are on everyone except Viscovi, right? Everyone else, can they hit their open shots? You got to hope not, right?
Do you go under the screen?
Initially, yes.
Yeah, you got to see it.
You got to have plan A, B, C, and D. Uh-huh. I'm drop coverage. I'm going under screens. I'm daring them to hit jump shots, everyone other than Viscovi. If they're hitting jump shots, now you got to adjust. Now maybe you got a hard hedge. Maybe you got to fight through screen. You got to do some different things. But initially, I'm saying the biggest problem, the thing that I must avoid, is penetration. Because, I mean, man, they were getting the looks they were getting. They should have, had 29 assists. They were killing them off the dribble. Michigan can't be in that position. This is why I like Frankie more in this game. And Devontae Jones, I agree, is another key, but he can't stay in front of these guys. This is Trent Frazier all over again. He can't stay in front of these guys. What he can do is wear them down. And so what I'm hoping is that he can just pick up right where he left off. Ohio State, Indiana, he was brilliant getting to the basket. He was bullying guys to the cup, Tim. If he can do that and wear those guys down, that's the equalizer when Devontae is on the court. I just don't know that I can predict that with him coming off a concussion.
I just love the fact that you've got him playing tomorrow. you're assuming he's in the lineup. I love that.
I'm assuming he's in the lineup.
I thought that Juwan used zone sparingly, but an appropriate amount. It's a good, different look. I've never seen Longwood play in my life. I know nothing about the matchups. You can overanalyze when a team, makes 15 out of 23 or whatever that number was. that was an inferior opponent, and Tennessee it played was. Really well. So I don't worry about that a whole lot. I just know they're good, but I also know they haven't had an off game in 8 contests in a row, and they're due for a mediocre performance. They play good teams in the SEC all the time, but they don't know anything about Hunter Dickinson.
That's true.
And so I think Michigan has some weapons that they can go at. And the X factor is Caleb Houston. And just like I said, that in the Colorado State game, that my X factor was my outlier was going to be Frankie. Against Tennessee, I think it's going to be Caleb Houston.
Yeah. You drop zone in there too. That's another, man, everything that emphasizes y'all got to hit jumpers. You got to hit jumpers to change our game plan. And we'll react accordingly if you do. We'll change it up. But we're going into this saying, like I said, drop coverage. We're going to drop some zone in there. We're going to go under screens. And then we're going to see what you do.
Can I share one other thing? Hidden game key is that Hunter Dickinson has matured and grown as a smart defender. And he has not been in a lot of foul trouble lately. I worry about Tennessee's guards because if they get by, the big man is the one that gets exposed. And so they've got to keep Tennessee on the perimeter, because if Hunter Dickinson doesn't play 30-plus minutes, Michigan loses this game. And I can't find many scenarios where it's different than that.
Well, whatever you do, I mean, you know, intensity and connectedness. I'm going to go back to that. We saw neither defensively in the first 15 minutes of this game. They're 4 and 5, whether it was mostly it was Musa and Hunter, but even when T. Will got in there, I mean, they just kept losing guys beyond the 3-point line. And that.
Yeah. I'm hoping Rick Barnes doesn't have a copy of the tape today.
Right. And again, when I say it, the intensity and connectedness is different. These guys, I actually want them to shoot. Like, I want these guys to shoot other than Viscovi. My point is, be locked into the game plan. And whatever you do, I mean, locked into the scout, I should say. And whatever you do, do that stuff hard, man. Do it with some intent. It didn't feel like that at first. Yeah.
So one other thing that I sent a tweet this morning saying that Colorado State is so fundamentally sound. That's a well-coached team. And they really like to drive hard to their strong hand. And I thought that one of the keys, which Michigan did not do in the first half, but was excellent at in the second, is you've got to force your opponent to his left hand. When a guy drives left, he's about half a step slower, and his field goal percentage drops by 10%. And also, you've got to stay down and contest late on shots. You know, just get a hand up. Just be in the environment. Just be in the area, and they'll miss. Michigan in the second half was exceptional.
I agree. your scouting report was right on the money. Force them to put it on the deck. They did a better job of that in the second half. This game, different opponent. Scouting report is different, man. And so we'll see. I hope that you're right, Tim. I hope that, you know, they're due an off game. Like the law of averages, that's on Michigan's side in this game. That's what I hear coming from you. This team has been rolling so much of late. They can't roll forever, right?
Right. And Michigan's due for back-to-back wins. It's been since what, Purdue and Penn State. It's been almost a month since we've had back-to-back wins. We need back-to-back.
I'm hoping that you're right, Tim, that they finally break that trend. They certainly have. Look, they have a matchup problem. You know, Hunter Dickinson is a problem for them.
No doubt. And,
you know, especially coming off the game that he just had where he was a man in the post. He had a tough game, a tough first half defensively, but he got it together, and they got it together as a team. Hopefully they can ride that in the emotion of what I expect to be the return of Devontae Jones. Hopefully they ride that to victory. I'm going to be honest with you, Tim. I always keep it real with the people. I can't pick Michigan in this game. Not because I don't want them to win, Yeah, I want Michigan to win this game. I hope Michigan wins this game. I hope that we come back on the podcast and I can say, man, I got that one wrong. But between the pattern that we've seen Michigan set with up, down, they haven't strung together too. Even the game, the back-to-back games that they won with Penn State and Purdue, they didn't play well in that Penn State game, right?
Man, I'm a little bit worried because this is about the time in the podcast where Sam Webb starts saying, so let's break down Villanova.
You're not hearing me say that right now, Tim. I think Tennessee is going to win this game, but I'm hoping that we come back on the podcast the next time. And I'm eating big time crow because someone has stepped up and had a big time performance that lifted them like you predicted. Frankie Collins. So if they win this game, Tim, against Tennessee, I mean, go right back to the well. Who's going to be that guy in this game if Michigan wins it that stepped up and was the difference-making player?
Caleb, if Michigan's going to win, two things need to happen. Devontae Jones needs to be in the starting lineup, and Caleb Houston needs to make five threes. And if those two things happen, I think Michigan wins.
Okay. Yeah. Hey, man, I'll go with you on that. If Caleb can carry, and they got give his teammates credit for getting in the good looks, the drive and dish, in the corner for that three, he got that three in transition. They got him some really, really higher percentage 3-point looks. That has to be a focus in this upcoming game too. Can you get Caleb run stuff to get Caleb some looks even early in the game? To your point, because if he can get that first one to go, how about that for a key, Tim? If they get, I'll go with this. If Caleb Houston's first three goes, Tim, he'll get that. What did you say? Five threes?
Yes.
If his first three goes, he'll get that five threes, those five threes you're talking about.
Sam, you're sounding more optimistic as we go on. I'm so happy about that. I want you filled with enthusiasm and hope, and I can see it. Good job.
Well, I'll tell you this. I feel like they have a better chance after what we just saw Frankie do.
Good.
But that was not the kind of performance that I was hoping to see from Tennessee. That I wasn't seeing from Tennessee out the gate. It was more of the way that they've been playing. And now we just have to hope that they aren't on like that against Michigan. Time will tell. But, man, I'm going to enjoy this one for a little while longer. I'm going to celebrate the grown man game by Frankie Collins. I'm going to celebrate this team answering the bell. They didn't come out. They didn't come out like you want them to. But what did Mickey say? Or what did Rock say when he got up? It was Rocky IV, and he got knocked down, and he heard Mick. And he said, I didn't hear no bell. And then the team, Rock got up and knocked out Tommy Gunn. That was Michigan today because they didn't hear any bell. They got up and started fighting and won the game. Let's hope that they can do the same against Tennessee.
And Sam, today my favorite thought is that I celebrated a blue victory with a green beer. So it was a good day for me.
You're a good man, Tim. I want to thank your lovely assistant, Michelle McCormick, for setting up your lights today.
Much better, right?
She did a terrific job. You're so illuminated over there. Yeah. So that looks good. You know, glistening, Tim, in the screen. So that's great. That's great. And hopefully, hey, look, folks, if Michigan wins Saturday, you'll see us right back here Sunday or Monday breaking down the Sweet 16 opponent. And think about this. I believe if Michigan gets this next one, if they beat Tennessee, I think it would be 7 to 10 years in the Sweet 16, Tim. Is that right? Are my numbers right with that?
Sam, stay humble.
I'm trying to think. I mean, Michigan has been a perennial Sweet 16 team when you think about it. I think
this would be five straight for sure.
Yeah, I'm pulling up the stats here just to see where I'm at really, really quickly. But yeah, you know, and by the way, as I look these stats up, Tim, I will never pick Iowa to make a run ever again. Ever, ever, ever again. That's number one. I found the stat. Michigan is indeed one win away. I want to give Zach Shaw credit for this, for finding this stat. Michigan gets to the Sweet 16, it'll be 7 of 10 years in the Sweet 16. That's big time consistency.
That's big time. I love that. So
we'll see if it happens, folks. Until the next time, thanks for listening to the Michigan Basketball Insider.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.